Just brought a whole new ethos, you know. Sort of, I mean, literally black and white students were killing each other on campus. And then he, like, came in and...
Professor Jonathan Jensen.
South J or Paris J?
Is he any relation to you, Jonathan?
No, Paul, I think he's...
In the same editor related to Paul McCartney.
He's a bit browner than I am, Paul.
Yeah.
And you're saying this guy was on CNN for a half an hour? 20 minutes or something like that?
Yeah, they've got a thing called African Voices. Yeah, 30-minute slots every week on Africa. It's quite interesting. It gives you a bit of a perspective of the forgotten continent almost.
But he was an ANC part of the freedom struggle?
Yeah.
And did he go from being... Did he then become an academic? Or was he always an academic?
Loads of academics in the freedom struggle. They all went to Moscow and studied nuclear physics.
Yeah. Moscow was the
Cold War, yeah.
The place, wasn't it?
So you have like a lot of the intelligentsia would have been subsidized by the Russians, basically. So that was the whole justification for apartheid. And that there was this Cold War, and you know, the Russians were supporting the ANC, who were terrorists, and you know, as whites, we couldn't, like.
Yeah. That's all true.
Yeah, I just got a quote. This tiny bit of the book: "Social media makes me realize how ridiculous it is in the 21st century to have students and parents queuing, and recently even dying, in lines to register for university admissions." I don't know what he means by that, but it's pretty. Maybe you queuing up for so long, or you end up having battles with each other. You know, these letters were issued daily. Yeah, these things went out daily on Twitter and Facebook.
Did he send out one every day? Was that
daily on two media? My Facebook page quickly reached 5,000 friend limit. Is there a limit on Facebook? Are you only allowed to have 5,000 friends?
Yeah, and isn't that why you have business pages to have unlimited likes or whatever? Isn't that what happened?
Yeah, makes sense.
Don't do Facebook.
Twitter followers swelled to 11,000 after the first 100 tweets.
I hate Facebook. I've been forced into it.
Imagine putting out 100 tweets and getting 11,000 followers. I mean, I don't actually understand how. How does that work in South Africa?
I think Twitter in South Africa is probably about a year behind the rest of the world. So I think his timing, like what he did and how he got that message out, I think that's as the groundswell was starting. I mean, I think
so. Just about everyone who went onto Twitter went to follow him because he got in there first. He was an early adopter in South Africa.
I'm Irish, so I don't know. I've been out of the land for some time now.
But you were also in the ANC. Did you ever meet him?
I never met him.
How many people were in the ANC?
I don't know, thousands. Tens of thousands.
Tens of thousands, yeah.
So you had all different groups. You had obviously exiles that were living in exile, and they were living in different parts of Africa, or living in Russia, in Moscow, living in the UK.
They were in Angola?
Some of them, yeah.
Yeah.
And obviously the South African government was, you know, systematically blowing them up and trying to eliminate them. So yeah, it was an interesting time. There's actually a great documentary series called Have You Heard from Johannesburg? I don't know if you guys have seen it. It's like a 10-part series. They actually capture the whole struggle in South Africa from like the 70s all the way through the present day. It's just so interesting because when you lived in South Africa, you never actually saw what was happening, because obviously there was like media blackouts and people could never see how Mandela looked, so his image was banned. I mean, the press was controlled. It's just fascinating to watch that now from here in Europe, where obviously this is what the rest of the world was seeing, which we never saw. So kind of, it's interesting, it's like a different piece of the story that you were blocked from ever experiencing.
You know that book, Brian Patton,
My Beloved Country.
Yeah, Cry My Beloved Country. Alan Patton, yeah. Cry My Beloved I mean, that was the first book that got me interested in South Africa. That was the start for me. Was that book available in South Africa?
Absolutely, that was. We actually read that book at school. It was a school set book. So, but look, our school was quite politically conscientized and liberal.
So there were some liberal schools in South Africa.
Absolutely. I mean, it was still state-controlled schools where they had an ideological thing that they were putting onto you. So you would have been sent to military school during high school to prepare you for military service. So, you know, lots of discipline, lots of punishment. Quite a strict school system, obviously based on the British school system, but strong overtures from Afrikaner apartheid system in terms of what you should believe in as a white man.
Maybe someday
some people still believe that stuff. So.
Yeah, I mean, some of the things you mentioned about, you know, people being told what they should believe reminds me of my own childhood. I mean, I was given a thing called a catechism, which gave me a whole series of questions and answers, and I had to learn them off by heart. You know, who made the world, and there was an answer. And it went on from that. What is a mortal sin? There was an answer. What is a venial sin? What is extreme unction? You know, all of the things were answered in a book, right? Extreme unction. Here we are looking at the impact equation, and we're talking about extreme unction.
I guess we're.
It's a kind of a. Okay, look. Thanks for that stuff about South Africa. I couldn't resist. I feel like I need to know more.
We'll just love to take you there one day.
Yeah,
we could go down to South Africa. Yeah, we actually
meet some of our other change agents in Cape Town.
We have designers there.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Have you ever been? You're beginning to sound like the Misfits.
Yeah.
Oh.
And you have to go over the globe to meet the rest of the team.
And you can't just fly there.
Standing.
You have to go down there by camel from Cork.
Yeah.
Standing on the shoulders of giants.
We're
going to go down from Cairo. Who's the woman who walked from Cape Town to the Mediterranean?
I don't know. There's been a couple of people. Renee in our office has actually done this. To the human part.
He has walked?
Not walked, but
he has traveled?
He's traveled in the 60s. From Cape Town to Cairo in an old Land Rover with an Australian friend of his through war-torn countries. It's quite an amazing. Should do a whole audio series.
I know somebody, I forget who they were, who did it in a bus. I'll have to remember who they were. Definitely somebody telling me about that. I'd love to do a trip like that. Actually, I wouldn't mind going from here to Clonakilty.
From Cork to Clonakilty.
Yeah, from Cork to Clonakilty. An epic, an epic.
Cork
to Clon.